And I am among you as one that serveth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we hear the gospel, and it gives us an account of an exchange that happened during the Last Supper, when the apostles were arguing among themselves who should be accounted the greatest. So they were vying for first place and trying to see who was going to sit at the Lord's right hand and his left when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus gives them a very simple way to think about the kingdom of heaven. He says that the way he speaks about it is that if you look at the kingdom of heaven, he says, in this world, you know that the one who is greater is the one who sits at the table, and then the one who serves him is a lesser one. That's how it works in the world. And so in the world, you have those who exercise power, and they have people that serve them. They command people to do their bidding, and that's how it works in the world. You have those who gain a lot of power. They'll begin to absorb the power of those underneath them, like through taxation, for example, and then they will give out of that substance to them, and they'll be called benefactors. They'll be, you know, seen as the ones who are giving out the goods, and they'll be praised in this world. But he says the kingdom of heaven is different, and he shows them the difference when, at the Last Supper, he girds himself with a towel, and then, as the lowest servant in a household would do, he then washes their feet, and even washes Judas's feet, who will betray him. And he shows them that that's how it works in the kingdom of heaven. The one who is greater is the one who will serve. And if we think about this, we can see that this is spiritually true. God has made himself a servant to us, and yet he is the omnipotent one, the one worthy of all worship, the greatest one. But yet he is our servant. He serves us. In all of our living, God is there upholding us. He is serving us. He is the one that is making sure that we are fed and watered. You know, that's God doing the work. He's upholding us by the power of his love. He is the one who has made sure that we are washed clean in the waters of baptism, that we experience the joy of regeneration to become the sons of God. He is the one who makes sure that we're fed from the altar, the life-giving food of the body and blood of Christ. God is doing this for us. He is showing us his love for us through his service to us. He has made himself a servant to us. We see this in God made man, when the Son of God enters into our human life and becomes a servant. He takes upon himself the form of a servant, Philippians chapter 2. And his whole life speaks of service. We see his humility in the way that he became obedient to his mother and his father. His humble life as a carpenter in Nazareth. We see the ministry of the outpouring of grace in the way that he healed those who came to him. And the press became so great, he didn't have even a place to lay his head. He wasn't making money off this or becoming, you know, it wasn't a self-enrichment program, even though he is the great physician. And it became so intense, there were times he didn't even have something to eat. There was a ministry of love that came forth from him. He shows that all through his ministry, and the example he gives to the disciples at the Last Supper to wash their feet is just the prelude to the great offering he will make of himself upon the cross the next day for the sins of the whole world. He has laid his life down as an act of service to us. And so we see the great example in Christ. That speaks of the kingdom of God. And we are now citizens of the kingdom of God. And so what do we see ourselves doing? We see ourselves working to establish the church, which is a community of faithful people who are doing what? Taking care of others and bringing the light and love of Christ into the world. We are our brother's keeper. It is Cain who says to God, when God says, "Where is thy brother Abel?" After Cain has, you know, killed him with a rock in the field, "Where is the am I my brother's keeper?" Cain says to him. Well, that's what the hard heart says. Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to be concerned with others? That's the hard heart. The heart that sings now with the songs of the kingdom of heaven understands they are their brother's keeper. They have a mind, they have a heart that is mindful of the needs of others. And they look for how to lift them up, how to take care of others. That is, their life begins to change that way. And as it begins to resonate with the music of the kingdom of God, their life becomes liberated and becomes full. I spoke once to a mentor of mine in college, asked her, you know, how do you live a good life? And she said, well, I have found that I am the most free when I give of myself to my family and to my school. So wisdom there. Where do I find the best life? In offering myself, in doing those things, giving myself to my family, to my school, my work. There is a great liberation there. I spoke to, we rejoiced this week in the ordination of James Allen, who is a friend of ours in the parish. He's a postulant for holy orders from St. Andrew's Church in the West Valley. And he was recently ordained in the REC Church as a deacon, so now Deacon James Allen. And when I spoke to him about his ordination, he said he experienced a tremendous fulfillment in the grace of ordination as he commits himself to a life of service in an ordained capacity. He felt a tremendous sense of peace and of freedom. Those were the hallmarks of his experience as he enters into that. And that too is ours. We are called to that. Now, as sons and daughters of the Most High, we are empowered with the Spirit of Christ to then make our life not about ourselves, but about others. And in so doing, find ourselves. Right? That's the spiritual principle. If a man will try to save his life, he will lose his life. But if a man lays down his life for Christ, he will save it. It seems paradoxical, but there's truth in it. A person that goes looking for themselves gets lost. But if they, you know, search out and find and serve others, they find themselves. They have a life in their giving of their life. So let us remark upon this. Today is the feast of St. Bartholomew. And John Keble, in his sermon on this feast day, says, we don't know very much about St. Bartholomew. We associate him with St. Nathanael in St. John's Gospel. But we don't know much about him or seven of the other apostles. There is some tradition about them, but not much in Scripture. And he attributes that to the likelihood, or the common tone and tenor of the apostleship, that these men are simply self-effacing. They didn't build monuments to themselves. They weren't in it for their own glory. They died as martyrs. They weren't trying to save their own skin. They allowed themselves to be killed for the sake of Christ, and willingly entered into the glory of martyrdom. So in their self-effacement, we don't know much about them. They weren't, beating their own drums, building their own monuments, etc. God exalts them in due time. We're still venerating St. Bartholomew today, 2,000 years later, and remembering him on a red letter day, but they didn't promote their own channel. So here is the nature of the servitude. It's not self-aggrandizing. It is lifting others up and not itself. And we are to think about that today. We are to emulate that today. We are to exemplify the Spirit of Christ now as the one who lives in us, giving ourselves to a life of service and to a life of loving others. For therein we will find our freedom and our joy. It's a beautiful story that is told of the experience of Boys Town. It was a Roman Catholic orphanage for boys in Nebraska, established in 1918 by Father Flanagan. And it became their motto. Father Flanagan was with the boys, and he saw an older one helping a younger one. The younger one was struggling, so the older one picked him up. And the priest said, wow, isn't he heavy? And he said, no, Father, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. When we serve others, it's a light burden. No, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. Yeah. This became their motto. It became a hit song in 1969 by the Hollies. You know, it's a good thing to think about. Once I lean into loving others, I find it to be a light burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, says Jesus. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The yoke of love is light. It liberates us. And so on this day, we may rededicate ourselves to lives of service. May we seek out those who need God's light and love and help them with the corporal acts of mercy, with the spiritual acts of mercy. May we lean into it and press on and remember the words of Jesus, who says that blessed is the one who does these things and is doing these things when I come again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Held in highest honor, your rule and governance is exceeding steadfast.